No sound. Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. If you want to follow in the Pew Bible, it's page 1157. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has abolished the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to read to you now something that Bob has left for me to read to you on this Sunday. And it follows on rather neatly from last Sunday, where we made things out of Lego, but we're not doing that today, sorry. I've sent the kids to Sunday school, but we're not making Lego today. But it is about becoming one, joining together with God. The season after Pentecost calls us to reflect on Christ's commission to go into the world and the ways that the church fulfills Jesus' call to make disciples. Yet discipleship involves not only reaching out to those beyond the church, but also seeking peace within the church community, honouring our commonality in Christ. And we've just done some of that sharing of the peace when we went around and shook people's hands before. But it's more than just saying, g'day, how are you? Nice to see you at church today. It's saying, I'm one with you, you're one with me, through our common love of Jesus. So in the first chapter of Ephesians, we read the words of blessing and thanksgiving for God's glory, made known through the love of Christ, a love that unites all of creation. This reading from Ephesians 2 begins with a reminder of God's unconditional grace. It sets up today's reading, a discussion on why Jews and Gentiles are reconciled in Christ. The writer likens both Jews and Gentiles to equal citizens of a divine nation, a nation built as a dwelling place for God. Surely this passage was written because some of the Jews and Gentiles in the churches who are the recipients of this letter did not embrace reconciliation with one another. It's also timely that we have these readings of reconciliation today, which is the end of NAIDOC week, where we celebrate the reconciliation that is possible in this country. Often there was animosity between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews had an age-old covenant with God. They knew that they were the special ones. Everyone else, well, they weren't special at all. But to God, they were. And God made a new covenant with all of us, Jews and Gentiles, through Christ. The derisive term used by the Jewish people to describe Gentiles was the uncircumcised. They weren't people of the promise. They weren't part of that original promise that God made to his people, that he would be with them, and they would be his people, and he would be their God. Gentiles just didn't measure up as part of God's chosen people. Judaism taught that circumcision was a necessary act to show that one was part of God's covenant. The writer here claims that whilst Gentiles were once strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Christ's sacrifice has brought them into the commonwealth of Israel. This is very political language. Strangers, aliens, commonwealth. This political language creates an important contrast for the ancient hearer between the commonwealth created by the Roman Empire, which promised peace through sacrifice to Caesar, and the commonwealth of God, which promises peace because of the sacrifice of Jesus. In a culture where sacrifice served as currency for appeasement of ruling powers and gods, the writer makes a transformational claim in stating that the death of Jesus could draw Jews and Gentiles into one community and end racial, cultural, and religious animosity between the two groups. These were radical ideas indeed. Jews maybe had forgotten that the covenant that God made with Abraham was that he would bless them to be a blessing to the whole world. And the Gentiles were part of that world. A convenient thing that they forgot. Sometimes it takes more than changes in law to address underlying causes of social, political, and cultural discord. The Christian communities to whom this letter was written needed more than a legal justification. It's the right thing to do. For breaking down walls between them, they needed a spiritual transformation to make that happen, to overcome their differences. Such a transformation can be possible through the faithful breaking down and rebuilding of community. Just as the dividing wall between them is broken down, the writer calls these citizens with the saints to build up the household of God on the foundation of the very prophets that foretold the deliverance of the Jewish people. The apostles who proclaimed Christ's redeeming love and the reconciling cornerstone of Christ himself. Together, they are called to become a holy temple, a spiritual home for God. So there's more to unity than unity of liturgy, organization, or ritual. The real unity comes from Christ. Our oneness with him is our oneness with God. A new kind of person, someone who's not a Jew, not a Gentile, but something completely new, something completely different, a new creation. I've got some questions for you to consider. Who in our lives are the outsiders? Who do we consider to be the outsiders? Someone who's as far from us as the Gentiles were from the Jews. What barriers do I build up to shut people out? How can we pull those barriers down? There's a lovely quote that I saw that says, "There is just enough room in the world for all of the people in it, but there is no room for the fences which separate them." So how can we be a new kind of person? The sort of person that Jesus encourages us to be. If Jesus put an end to legalism and replaced it with love, how can I put love front and center of my faith? How can I move the fences to include everybody? And how might I act differently if I accept that everyone is God's child who he loves very much? Today's readings celebrate God's loving vision for healing, wholeness, and unity. I invite you now to reflect more deeply on what this means for you and for the life of the church here at HTK. Amen.